Friday, the 10th of February, Yutzes Shvat, Baba Amram Nemes, Yitzis Bries Oilam, and Yitzis Mitzrayim. Anything in between?
My father and Colin Masubin Khan, and everyone else here. It's a pleasure to be back. I'll just preempt my actual the core of my shir that the Lubavitch Rebbe's father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, once told his Hasidim that you should live with the times. You should live together with the times. Hasidim were very perplexed at what he said because the Rebbe was known to be fighting against modernity and anything to do with it. So he said to them, no, you have to live with the weekly parsha, and that's what I meant. Okay. It wasn't meant to be a joke, but I guess, you know, I've done better if that was the joke. But he said you should live with the weekly parsha and see the messages that it brings directly into your life. So I guess there's twice this week that, not that I'm not so presumptuous to say I'm on such a high level that everything I experience in my life, I quickly look into a chumash and I see how it was relevant. But sometimes it could be staring at you in the face. So once, because someone said to me yesterday that he's just become frumma, and rabbis always say, oh, don't take it too fast. Don't worry if it's too much. You know, we're living in the days of emotional health and mental health. We're also in the post-Kirov era. Like, we've seen all the damage that maybe it's done to people who jump on. So no rabbi will ever say, yes, go jump in for 5 years, go to Koilel, then come back, and then make sure your kids go to Torah Vadas and don't send them anywhere else. Everyone's hesitant to say that because maybe we've seen the results of much of that. And everyone says, slowly do one mitzvah this year and then another one next year and make sure it's a slow journey. He said, I don't believe any of that is true. Now, you're just saying that. If there's no source for that in the Torah, maybe you should jump in and do everything straight away. That's a bad point. Where does it say in the Torah you should be like that? I'm doing many things wrong. I should quickly correct kashrus, shabbos, lashon hara, shmiras sinayim, all the things that regular Yidden hopefully do most of their day, or protect themselves from, or do mitzvahs asay. I'm going to jump into that too. He said, how do you know that the Torah wouldn't necessarily agree with that? Fair point. So, since my job, although I just looked at Dvar Torah anyway in the Sefer, which seemed to address exactly that point. So twice, actually. First of all, there was a fence around Har Sinai, and Rashi said when you would come closer to the fence, then it would tell you to back up, to move away. And I did previously hear an idea, not this year, that it was to tell you that you could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the top of the mountain. Sometimes can experience the emes, but it can be dangerous and even deadly if you jump on too fast to go to the top. So the fence tells you somehow to hold yourself back and to protect yourself from jumping in. Hold back and see where you need to get to and slowly make your journey up there. He didn't like that. He said it's not directly related to what I asked. Fair enough. He's a clever fellow. Maybe the Torah way will ask him to come eventually after about 40 years with the journey I told him to go on. But anyway, so then I told him there's a ksav soif in this week's parasha. And the pasuk says in Perek Yotes, pasuk Yotes, Vayhi koil ha-shoifar, ho-leif v'chazeg ma'oid, Moshe yadabe, v'alekim, yanenu v'koil. And the shoifar was getting louder and louder, as we explained. And then Moshe spoke, and Hashem answered, so to speak, v'koil. It says the Ksav Sofer that famously the Mepharshim say that the shofar got louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder until it was a massive sound. Unlike normal people who blow regular people, which is not a godly sound, it goes quieter towards the end because the person runs out of breath. That's the difference between Hashem or the shofar that was a Matan Torah and the way we blow the shofar. It says the Ksav Sofer, in a way, it mirrored the Klal Yisrael's acceptance of the mitzvahs after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because there was no one more off the derech than Klal Yisrael when they came out. I mean, 4/5 chose to remain behind. That anyway indicates the state of the people. Then, they were on the Memtesh Shari Tuma. And the Malachim said, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why are you saving them? So, Kadosh Baruch Hu says in the most beautiful Medrash, but I can see the future. These people are ready now. They've been locked up in a certain way, but really their potential is much higher. And I don't look at the present, and that tells us about generally how he perceives us and which direction we're going. And that was all the Divrei Torah and Parshas B'Shalach. But they weren't in a good place. And they complained straight away back to Hashem. They wanted to, let's go back to Mitzrayim. They weren't living in Kedusha B'Tara, as maybe some of us would imagine them, or maybe as the Parsha sheets perceive them. They weren't necessarily like that with their long payers and waiting. The Memtesh Shari Tumah doesn't seem to be such a good place to be. Serving Avodah Zarah doesn't seem to be such a positive place to be. The 49th level of Tumah, do we describe ourselves as that? Serving Avodah Zarah, not interested? Look at the Machane Don. Don Ma'asif Kol HaMachmas. They had Avodah Zarah throughout the time they were in the Midbar. So it wasn't such a good place, necessarily. So how's Hashem going to make them from? So says the Ksav Sofer, it's a very slow process. First of all, we come to Mara. Okay, there was Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't mention that. We come to Mara, let's do a bit of Shabbos. Maybe a bit of Parah Adumah to tell you that there's Choy Shemishpah to tell you how to deal with it, but there's Shabbos first. Then afterwards, you come to Har Sinai. Now, the whole Torah was given to Har Sinai, but what was declared? The Asaras Adibras. 10 commandments. The rest maybe is details, and of course, Moshe went up to receive the Torah Shabbat Peh, there's 40 days. But what was told to Klal Yisrael? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't be a false witness. The main 10 precepts. Someone years ago, I think the husband went off the derech, and the wife went to a Rav, I don't remember where I read this, and they didn't know what to do because he wasn't necessarily being a bad example for the kids, but he wasn't keeping Shabbos or anything. And he was doing a tiny bit. So the Rav told his wife to tell him that he should keep the Aseres Hadibros, which was the first 10. So interesting, right? That was the first 10. And afterwards, throughout the years, they're in the Midbar, throughout the Torah, we slowly Hashem infiltrates them with Yomim Toivim, with the rest of the Halachas, with Parshas Behar B'Chukosai, how to interact with Haftar Eichel Kamoich with other people. But says the Ksav Sofer, it was a slow process. It wasn't like, you're out of Mitzrayim, here's 613 mitzvahs, and if you can't do it, then you're going to burn, because that's not what I took you out for. It was a very slow process. Shabbos, then 10 commandments, and Moshe explained throughout the Midbar what it would be like. By the time they finished everything, maybe when we get to writing down the Sefer Torah and Sefer Devarim in Kisavai, then maybe it was finished. But no one was expected to do everything straight away. This is what I told him. I think he bought it. I think it makes a lot of sense. It says the Ksav Sofer beautifully. That's indicated in Vayhi Koil Shofar Hoylik V'Chazek Ma'od Moshe Yedaber. Moshe speaking mirrored the Shofar. Just like the Shofar got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, so too Moshe's recollection of what Hashem wanted from the Jewish people was stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's the Hekesh Al Pidrush, or the juxtaposition in the Pasuk. Vayhi koil ha-shofar, ha-leich v'chazek ma'oi. That's one part. There's an asnachta. Moshe yedaber v'olikim yanenu b'koil. We're telling, they reflect upon each other, these two parts of the Pasuk. Just like the shofar got, there was a bit of Shabbos, a bit of Parah Adumah, Aseres Hadibros, stronger and stronger, more mitzvahs, more mitzvahs, more mitzvahs, Shmita, everything, Karbanos. And then at the end, they knew 613. Just like the shofar was getting louder, so too we were as well. He also says that the shofar itself, he says, you know what, you could start off also shaloi lishma. Something, the other point, before I start my shiur, but I guess this is relevant, but I prepared something specific to speak about today. The other point he says is that, you know, you start off, the shofar starts off very, very small, normally, and then it goes louder and louder and louder and louder and louder till it's very loud at the end. In Har Sinai it was like that, at least. Not normal. Normally it's the other way around. He says, at the beginning you could pay someone to learn. This is relevant to me. I started a program now, and people have attacked it a lot, I think. Well, I've got a lot of feedback, some good, some bad. That just like it's a koilo, and you pay people to learn Torah, which you may disagree with because people should be working, and you should go to university. There's all these discussions people have whether it's right or for wrong. But no one is terribly averse to paying someone to learn in the koilo. So it was a bit original, but also in the JLE, I started together with Rabbi Morgan, where we got a certain amount of money, and we pay young professionals or people who have just started to come and learn a daven as well. Bribery, right? It's shocking. I mean, if someone wants to become from, they should become from anyway. If someone wants to learn, he should learn anyway. I think it's such a misunderstanding, the whole thing, because so many of us have shaloi d'shmas as to why we do things. We want, and they're good, they keep us in a certain environment, we have the kehillah watching us, we have shluchim we have to make, and it's healthy. Because you're not always living in this perfect existence. Sometimes you are, when you've learned well, done a mitzvah, you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And much of our days, we need so much to protect us, to make sure we're in. So we have families that are looking up to us, so we have to make sure we keep it on the straight and narrow. We have to know things. We want our children to learn, so we learn. Shaduchim and everything. Those are all Shaloi Lishma, and I think the Toh Shaloi Lishma, Bod Lishma. Everyone deep down wants to succeed. Everyone wants to be an Elohim. So I said it's the same as well. Now, someone who's living in a non-religious life doesn't have all these Shaloi Lishmas. They couldn't care less, many of them. Right? So Shaloi Lishma is to pay to come. So the Ksav Sofer says the same thing. Says that a person, when he starts learning, needs always incentives and rewards. And that's the shofar with a very small sound. It's not the highest level, but it's the way to jump in. And afterwards, as you move on, the shofar will be stronger and stronger and stronger until the end. Maybe someone will do it, mito shaloi lishma, ba lishma. So those two ideas he brings on the shofar. Now moving on to something I wanted to share with you on that Aseres HaDibros. The Meshech Chochma asks, in Parshas Vayeschanan, the purpose of Shabbos, we say, Zochar es Yom HaShabbos LeKadshoi, remember Shabbos to make it holy, which is the commandment, the mitzvah to make Kiddush. The Meshech Chochma asks, Klal Yisrael have always believed that they themselves have a specific mission to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah into the world, and that started at Aseres HaDibros. We've never believed that no one else has any access to Hashem as well. Here's the Meshech Chochma. We have the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which tell people to live a moral life and to realize there's a God in the world, etc., etc. So we never believed we're the only one, but our mission is completely unique. We have 613 mitzvahs, we have to be Amanivcha, we have to be Levodav Yishkon, slightly separate, but we've never believed we're the only ones who have direct access, much to many other religions who say if you don't join us, then you have no eternal life. That's never been Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael believe that there's a universal somehow message, but we have a very distinct message to everyone else. We have the Torah, we have the mitzvahs, they have seven, we have 613. Now Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos is that Hashem created the world. So when we go back to that, when we celebrate Shabbos, we're remembering there is a creator, the world wasn't around forever. The world isn't necessarily going to be around forever. There was a beginning, there was a purpose, there was Yom HaShishi, we waited till the sixth day of Sivan in this week's parasha where the Torah would be given. Then the world was filled with light, hopefully. There's been a bit of darkness, but that's the mission of the world. Now everyone has to believe in that. That's not just a Yiddish message. Pesach, maybe we're celebrating our freedom, Shavuos, our Torah, Sukkos, the Anan Yaakov. But Shabbos is something that every Jew or non-Jewish person should keep. Yeah, that's the Meshech Chochma's question. So, no, don't worry, we have an answer. It doesn't stay like that. otherwise, I'd probably lose, you know. Gosh Shabbos Chai of Misa, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Right, I haven't missed that. And the Meshech Chochma didn't miss that either. And he says, why is Gosh Shabbos Chai of Misa? Right? So the answer is that actually Goyim should keep Shabbos. And we've started in the JLE. No, I'm joking. You're right, of course. We've started paying Goyim to keep Shabbos, just to put the Divrei Torah together. No. Interesting, Meshech Chochma, I wasn't going to quote this, only because you asked, because I haven't seen, I like to only look things up and then say them. He quotes at the bottom that you can ask a Goy to bury someone from your flock, from Am Yisrael on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. He says, because Yom Tov is a very Yiddish message. Shabbos, even the Goyim have a slight connection to, and therefore it's degrading for them to rest. For them to bury on that day, they should have some connection to it. Interesting, because they have Saturday, the Sunday. It seems to be, according to the Meshech Chochma, I wasn't going to say this because I haven't been through this till the end, there's some inkling they should also have, even if Gosh Shavas Chayav Misa. Something. But anyway, so we're left still with the question that it seems to be that Yom Tov is a specific message for Klal Yisrael. Shavuos, Sukkos, Purim, Chanukah, where we were saved, Hashem intervened. But Shabbos is creation. Yom HaShishi v'ayichulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am. We want everyone to know that in the world. We don't specifically want us to know that by ourselves. I think that's a fair question. And if we just, you know, the Ibn Ezra, Ibn Ezra, he lived in Spain and he traveled the world, and no one's quite sure, but he's some relation to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who wrote the Kuzari. The Kuzari wrote the Kuzari, which was a criticism of how the Yidden were living in Spain at the time. He felt there was too much Spanish culture to come infiltrated into their existence. There was too much philosophy. There wasn't enough focus on their Mona, and eventually he left the country. And if you understand the Kuzari, I've only learned a bit of it, a lot of it is criticizing. He started off maybe living with all the poetry and the grand palaces and the opulence of Spain, but he seemed to have moved away from it. Now, the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is related to the Ibn Ezra. Some people say it's his son-in-law. Some people say his son married his daughter, or they were just contemporaries. But there are various times in Chumash where the Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and in Aseres Dibros is one of them. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi asked me, doesn't say Chosni, my son-in-law, which is why some people say he can't have been his son-in-law, because he would have mentioned it's my son-in-law. They were definitely living together and writing Torah together. And he asked me, why did he say in the first of Aseres Dibros, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoteisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim? Why doesn't it say a famous question, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm your God, Asher Barasicha, that created you? And he says that he answered to his son-in-law, or his contemporary, or his Talmud, the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God. Not everyone can get to that by looking out into nature, looking out into the world, and seeing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to have created us. And therefore we need the second half of the sentence of Hasher Hoitzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim, which you all witnessed yourself, and you all saw me, and therefore you should believe in me. So we start to have an inkling that Briyas HaOlam is not going to make people necessarily believe in Hashem, because no one was there. Hasher Hoitzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, you took me out of Mitzrayim, and this just happened to Klal Yisrael when they stood at the foot of the mountain. They can hear Hashem's voice in the mountain. Hashem came down to Makas B'chayros. They may have been rebellious, but they clearly have the Shechina amongst them. So that you can believe in. It's going to be hard for you, says the Ibn Ezra to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, to look around into science and to understand the world. Now, the Rambam says that everyone has to do both. Everyone has to have Torah, and as well as that, you have to understand science as well. The Yad Ramah wrote a letter to the Rambam. And he said, stop it with all of this telling people to learn science. You're a genius. Your advice is not for the masses. Most of us can't look at physics and can't look at it and say, oh wow, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation there. Most of us can either learn one or the other. We don't have the capacity to do that. And therefore, why are you telling everyone you should always do both? It's too much for Klal Yisrael. For you and a few Yechidim, it's good. Says the Yad Ramah to the Rambam, we'll be left with nothing. Because you'll get children in school trying to understand some physics and how this relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Einstein's theory, please. And then they'll try to fit that into the Torah of Briyas HaOlam. How are you going to do that? It's impossible. Therefore, it's much better, said the Yad Ramah, tell people just to learn Torah itself. Maybe ideally, you should be looking around in the world and seeing there's a Melech, Malchi, Amlochim, there's a creator. It's very hard to get there. Says the Ibn Ezra, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Some people can stop there. They'll realize there's the Hashem and God just by looking around. And he says, in his time, everyone believes that. They just argue on the exact philosophy of it. Of Hashem, HaTzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim is for the regular people. We all saw Hashem. That was then passed down. We can relate to that. We may find it hard to trace ourselves back directly. It's hard, but we can. We can go back easily a couple of thousand years, and then we know a bit more that we all stood at the foot of the mountain at our Sinai. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. So how does that answer our question? Because we said the question was, why doesn't everyone keep Shabbos? Why is it just related to the Goyim? Why is it just related to the Eden? Really, everyone should have that message. Says the Meshech Chachma, because no one was there at creation, but everyone was there at Yetzias Mitzrayim. So who can relate? Who can tell you that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is in charge of the world? Only a nation that witnessed and experienced His intervention. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu dealt with Kriyas Yamsuf, with Matan Torah, with Amon, with Anani HaKovet, it was only because He's the Baal, He's the owner and in charge of everything, and that allowed Him to intervene. Someone or an existence or a God that wasn't in charge wouldn't have been able to change nature with the Dam, with the Tzfardea, with Kriyas Yamsuf, with the cloud, the dry clean people's clothes, where that deflected the arrows, with the Mon. That had to be the only existence. Could have been HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There has to have been a creator then, and that creator had to have been involved in order to change nature at the time. Who are the only people who experienced that? Am Yisrael. Therefore, Am Yisrael are the only people who are capable of celebrating Shabbos. who could sit down on Friday night and say Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then that takes them back to Bria Sa'olam. The rest of the world wasn't there. They can't trace themselves back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And to go back to creation, that's very, very far away. And it's very, very hard to do. And to say they're going to look around now and see Bria Sa'olam, that's hard for most people to do. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the basis of all the emunah that we have. We're the only ones that experience that. So we can safely say on Friday night, we have a creator, we're serving him, and we make kiddush and we say, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And now we have a link from there to Bria Sa'olam. Because once we saw Hashem intervene in nature then, the only existence that could have intervened could have been an existence that created. And that's a link that takes us back to Bria Sa'olam. So we could give witness on Friday night that Vayichulu Hashemayim V'haaretz V'chol Tzeva'am, that Hashem created the heavens and the earth only because we saw a God exist and change everything. And that's the basis of our emunah. And that takes us back to Bria Sa'olam. A random non-Jewish family doesn't have the capability because they can't go back. Where are they going to go back to? They weren't there when we as a people collectively saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. They weren't there at all. Only we were there. We need that to know that Hashem's existence in the world. You can't just say Hashem exists. How do you know? We as a people went back to Yetzias Mitzrayim and we saw him. We literally saw him. Amakas Bachoris and Matan Torah, the Mon and Anakov, these were super miraculous kind of things that there had to have been only in existence that was involved in nature. And therefore only we can celebrate Shabbos. How can anyone else celebrate Shabbos? You're relying on the fact that there was a creator. Maybe you're a big scientist and you could do it yourself. But as a people, we can't advise that. As a world, we can't advise that. As a world, we can advise a people who witnessed Hashem's intervention into nature to celebrate creation, because that's when we saw there has to have been a creator. Now that's part one. Part two is, famously, and there's so many different Torah attributed to this, Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy is Parshas Yisroi, and Shomer es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy is Parshas Vayeschana. How exactly there were two luchas and two words is not a discussion for now, but there were two sets of Aseres HaDibros. Zochar, remember Shabbos, is in this week's Parsha, and in Parshas Vayeschana, important point, just before they went into Eretz Yisrael, is Shomer as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy, as well as if you look in the Mepharshim, so many other differences between the two. But the one I would like to focus on is Zachar as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy and Shomer as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy. And Zachar we famously attribute to Kiddush and positive mitzvahs and Shomer Melachas. The Meshech Chochmah has a different idea. And I think it's very enlightening to how we celebrate Shabbos. He doesn't focus on, we always know that Zachar is simply the positive aspect and Shomer is the negative. He says something completely different between the two. Says the Meshech Chochmah, there are two parts to Shabbos. There's Zachar es Yom HaShabbos, and that's to remember Briyas HaOlam. Remember that the world was created. That's Zachar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy. Now to remember that, we stopped doing 39 melachas. Just like Hashem stopped creating the world, we stopped doing 39 melachas. That's Zachar, that's simple Shabbos observance. I don't cook, I don't light a fire, I don't sew. Just like Hashem created the world and stopped on Yom HaShabbos, I'm stopping doing these 39 acts of work, which are the typical work that one does in the week and one does to create the world. I'm stopping on that on Shabbos as well. And that's the pasuk Zachar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy. Remember. What do you remember? Remember the day of Shabbos that Hashem created the world and he stopped on Shabbos. That's the first Aseres HaDibros. Just before they, now, when Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, they were living a Ruchnius Dika existence. Moshe was teaching them the Torah as we discussed. They had the Mon. They didn't know Torah Ela La'ochle Hamon. The Mon was a spiritual kind of food and it allowed them to receive the Torah. They had no problems of Parnassa. They were living in Koil for 40 years. No, with like a very nice support, a nice flat in Gane Ge'ula with the 5 bedrooms and another flat to rent out. Not like roughing it in like a basement in Mem Gimel. They were living properly. They had like a very, very good existence. Right? And the Koila were paying well. The food, everything was done for them. And then for the whole week they were learning Torah. And the whole week they were living with spirituality. Right, they never felt really Shabbos as much as we do. Which many people will say, I never felt this so much that the difference between, the biggest difference they felt after they left learning and they went to work, maybe because I never went to work, I guess, I'm still doing the same sort of thing, is that they felt they enjoyed Shabbos much more. Whereas in Kollel, they didn't enjoy it as much. But I think that's more because in Kollel, you can come an hour late, and then you leave an hour early, and then your wife's got an appointment with the Royal Free, and you can go there as well. There's no major commitment that you have to go to. Whereas at work, you've got meetings, and that, so it's much more intense. So Shabbos, you feel, at least I can stop. I don't know if they really were tapping into what I'm about to say now, but maybe, yeah. Zochar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. It tells you to remember Hashem created the world, and there's 39 melachas to remember that. It's unbelievable. Now, we were keeping Zochar for a long time, 40 years in the desert. We got to Moav, and we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. There's a big problem. Not a problem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Meshech Chachma, listen, you're all going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but there's a lot you can do keeping the 39 melachas, and Shabbos will be unrecognizable that it's Shabbos. Amira la'akam. Shvus. You can go and ask a non-Jew to work your field. You can do business. You can carry in many places. Things won't be mukta. There's no rabbinical rules yet. Says the Mesh Chochma, the word Shabbos in written in Parshas Emor, according to the Ramban, is hinted to, maybe even a Torah rule or an Asmachta, that that there will be other rules apart from the 39 Malachas that help make Shabbos a recognizable day. If I can ask a non-Jew to build for me on Shabbos, and he's building in my house, and I hear the builders and the drills, how are my children or my family going to know Shabbos is different? I didn't break the 39 Malachas, I didn't sew anything, I didn't cook. If I could do business on Shabbos without all the gezeiras of Mekach or Memka, and like the people come to my house, we'll have meetings. How are we going to have time for Shabbos meals or for anything else? It's going to be impossible. Now, says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, until now, it's been irrelevant. You're all learning the whole week. There's no business to do. It's irrelevant. No. Now, I want Shabbos to be a day where you learn Torah and you speak about the purpose of existence and the purpose of life. Forget 39 Malachas. That's Zohar. That's creation. That's to remember, you won't have any emunah otherwise. Get your tears to Mitzrayim, let that take you back to that, excellent. Now you're still going to do business with the Goyim, you're still going to do with the Eden as well, with Amir al-Akam, you're still going to do everything. How is Shabbos going to be recognizable for itself? It's impossible. You know what? Shomer is Yom Shabbos L'Kadshai. Shomer in this context means guard Shabbos, which means guard the message of Shabbos from the Shvusin, says the Meshech Chochma. All the rabbinical, the Dine Derabbanon, that help make Shabbos a recognizable day, that's connected to, and he brings proof from many psukim as to why Shomer means that. Shomer means guard Shabbos from doing things that are not the 39 Malachas. From doing business which wasn't included, from carrying in some areas, from asking a non-Jew mainly he brings to ask. That's hinted to in the word Shomar, and also in the word Shabbos, and written in the Yom Tovim and Parashas Emor. That's the second Aseres HaDibros, and that's the one that you need before you go into Eretz Yisrael. Which is why there are many Chazal that say if you're a Ben Torah, you can rest on Shabbos, and if you're working, you should learn on Shabbos much more. What is the same idea as well. If you're learning the whole week, you don't need so much that part of Shabbos which needs a day that's different, that reminds you of your purpose that you can learn. Whereas if you're working the whole week, then you need that day. So says the Meshech Chochma, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, is 39 Melachas. But that's not enough. Creation itself was never what Shabbos was about. Because there's also Shomer, and there's the word Shabboson. And Shabbos was meant to be a day where you sit at home, and you learn, and you think about the purpose of what you were doing. Keeping the 39 Malachas only gets you 50%. The other 50% is needed. Like Nitna Shabbos says to Yoshami Ela Loiske Batorah, to learn Torah itself. That means just because you're stopping doing Malacha, it doesn't help you realize that you're Am Hanifcha, that you have Talmud Torah connected Kulam. You've stopped working, you could think, why am I doing so many Averis in my week? Why is my life more productive? You can only do that when you're Shomar. You guard yourself from all the rules that the Rabbanon made. And that's hinted to just before you went into Eretz Yisrael. So to go back to our original question, why wouldn't a guy keep that? Zohar, Shomar, B'dibro, Echad, Nemru. They go together. Just to stop and remember there's a creator, wasn't worth it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted the other 50% as well. Zohar, Yom HaShabbos, L'Kadshoi, but then Shomar learned the Torah and do the mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs that only we got. And that may be the second answer to the question as to why the Klal Yisrael were given the Shabbos and not the rest. I just want to summarize in the 2 minutes that we have. We start off by saying, "Vahi koil ha-shoifa hoilech v'chazek ma'oid." The shoifa got stronger and stronger and stronger, relating to someone who went off the derech or is not from, should get stronger and stronger and stronger. Moshe Rabbeinu first skipped Shabbos, then Aseres HaDibros, then the 613 mitzvahs are slowly dropped into the people. But it was never just rushed on. And that's maybe the proof for this question that I got. Maybe not. The person seemed to buy. He didn't like the fence idea. I don't know why. Second, that was Vahi Kol HaShofar. We said also that the Ksav Sofer says that you should start off sometimes by paying people. Incentivize. In the non-Jewish world, especially in education, if you read the book, paying prizes are completely out. People should be naturally inspired. I don't think it's a Jewish belief. The Ksav Sofer is saying it incentivize children, incentivize people, give loads of prizes so that they get used to it. And eventually we believe in the Torah enough that when someone does it so much, they'll come to it themselves. I think that's definitely my belief, and I think that's what he's saying. Then we discuss why isn't Shabbos given to the Goyim? We have Yom Tovim because they're personal to us, but creation, the Sheva Mitzvahs, but they know it, which are predicated on the Creator. So they should have to do it. So we said two answers to that question as to why they shouldn't keep Shabbos. The first one we said was because they didn't witness creation. We also didn't, but we saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that was tapping in to a Borei Olam where we saw him witness. Only we can do that with emotion, with depth, which has been passed down to us, our Emunah. They can't do that. And number two, the Meshech Chochma says there's two parts to Shabbos. Lamates Malachas is to remember creation. That's only one part. It always goes together with, I've stopped, I remember, therefore what do I do now? I focus on learning, I focus on my purpose. That's the other 50%, they should go together. And if you don't have the other 50%, I'm not so interested in you celebrating the first 50%. Shkoyach, thank you very much.